Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, our prayer today to you, our worthy and awesome God, is that your Holy Spirit would breathe on us. Lord, we confess that we want your Holy Spirit poured out on this nation. We want it poured out on others around us. We want it poured out on this world. But we also want to focus, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, our prayer today is that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on this church and on each one of us. That you'd fill us with the breath of life, that eternal life, so that we might understand, so that we might reflect, and so that we might love you all the more. What we're trying to say, God, is right here in this room, in this church, and in every heart and mind represented, your kingdom come, your will be done, here and now as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, right now and forever. It's in Christ's name that we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John's Gospel, 15th chapter. Every week I try to seek God's plan. Try to seek what He has for us. Try to seek what He wants us to look at, focus on what it is He wants me to say. And hopefully we're successful at that more often than not. I just want to assure you that that is being done with every week as it should be, that is what has led us where we are today, where we're going to take a look at today and in the next week as we're making our way through a great summer. John chapter 15, we're going to take verses 9 through 14. And this is preceding the praying. Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's giving them some teaching, some instruction, some things for them to have with them that obviously was important to him and is important to us. And he says to them, beginning there in verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." And Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. We're going to take a look, a real good look, at the command that Jesus gives. And that is, he said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." That's right in the middle of what we read, but we need to understand what Jesus wanted them to understand that precedes that, that sets it up, that puts the foundation underneath it, and it is simply this. And hopefully you'll grasp this more than anything that's ever been grasped. Listen to me very carefully. God loves you. Oh no, that's a simple statement. It's three words. It's something that you expect. It's something that we know. It may be trite. It may be something that goes without saying, whatever the case may be. But let's just take a minute in all the craziness and all the negativity and all the mess that's going on in the world today and in some of our own daily lives, and just revel and appreciate and focus on the fact that God loves you. There's nothing wrong with that. God loves you. It was Augustine who said, "God loves each of us as if there were only one of us." Each of us. Every single one of us. God loves every single one of us the same. He loves every single one of us as much as He possibly can. He just loves you. Now, if nothing else wakes you up, the following illustration is guaranteed to get your attention. Some more so than others. Depends on how strong your stomach is. My family likes to grill out, and we do it at least once a week, sometimes two times, and every now and then three times a week. And something I enjoy, got the grill there in the backyard in a good shady spot, and you know, it's a manly thing that I really, you know, look forward to, standing out there just me and the dog cooking raw meat on an open fire. I mean, I like grilling. It's just the way it is. And so we do it quite a bit. There was one time a little while back, and I don't know, it seems like it was a few months ago. I've reached the age where that means it was probably 3 or 4 years ago. But regardless of which, sometime a little while back, after I had finished grilling, I neglected to kind of straighten up after the end of it. You know, you empty out the tray, you know, sort of dust it off a little bit, you put the cover back on. I didn't do that. And so the rain had come and it was hot and all this sort of thing, and I neglected to do all those things. I went back a few days later to grill again, and you know, it wasn't as ready as it ought to be. And there's this one little tray that you can pull out and empty that it catches all the water. You know, I'll spray to put out the little fires in the bottom, and the grease drippings, the fat runs down into there, and you're supposed to empty that out every time. Well, I hadn't done that. I had neglected to do that, and because it was warm weather and all that had just kind of collected in that little, what, cup-sized little tray underneath there, there were maggots, all right? See, we're awake now. And that's disgusting. That's as disgusting as it gets. And so now I got to deal with that on something that I'm about to prepare my family's meal on. And you've all got the pictures in your mind, but here's what I want you to grasp. Is there anybody here, any human being here, capable of looking down at those little white, little squirming, wormy maggots swimming around in fat, capable of feeling love? No. That's the honest answer, is no. Tell you that to tell you this. Your God, the God of heaven and earth, the one who sits on the throne, the creator, the source, and the destination of us all who are eternally in Him, the God who sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, your God, the God who loves you, is so perfect, so holy, so awesome, that the difference between you and Him is much greater than the difference between you and the maggots. Do you understand? And He looks at you, and He loves you. Jesus started out His statement of saying, I want you to love each other, but you need to recognize, first of all, that I love you, the Father loves me, I love you in the same way. God, hey, we are the same, Jesus says. The Father and I, we're the same. He loves you, I love you. That's the way it goes. Jesus knew these guys inside and out. He'd been with them night and day, nonstop, for, you know, we'll say 3 years. Somewhere roughly in that time frame we've estimated. Spent every waking moment, spent every sleeping moment in their midst. He knew them inside and out. He knew every one of these dozen or so guys' strengths. He knew their weaknesses, okay? He knew their good habits. He knew their bad habits. And trust me, they're human. They all had bad habits. Trust me, we're human. We've all got bad habits. Everybody that you know, well, first of all, you have bad habits. Second of all, everybody you know or have ever known has got bad habits. Every person that you've ever encountered, if you spend enough time with them, eventually they have the ability to get on your very last nerve. And all the married people said, amen, I know. That's just the way we are. Jesus knew these guys, and He knew about all their bad habits and the ability that they had to get on each other's nerves and maybe even His. And He loves them. He wants them to know that He loves them. God knows you and I inside and out. He knows the very worst there is to know about you. He knows the very worst things that you've ever done. God knows the worst things that you and I have ever thought. He knows you better than any person has ever known another person and ever will. And yet, He loves you and me. God loves you. Jesus knew these guys' hearts, and He loved them anyway. It was Rick Warren who wrote, God is love. He didn't need us, but He wanted us. And that is the most amazing thing. God loves you, and He loves you in a sense that is not like we have a tendency to love each other. It's not like it's my Christian duty. I gotta love others. No, God doesn't love you and me because it's His duty. God doesn't show love or feel love toward you and I in a way that you just sort of, you know, it's going to turn my stomach, but I'll do it, kind of love. God doesn't hold His nose and say, okay, I'm going to love so-and-so. Not like we'll all have to vote in a few months, okay? Okay, I'm just like, all right, you with me on that? I know I keep bringing that up, but I would like for at least those of us to look at that whole process because it's going to be nonstop, biblically and differently from everybody else. Amen? God doesn't have to hold His nose and love you. And the reason that He doesn't have to do that, even though we're like maggots, is, listen, this is maybe even more key than the fact that God loves you. Listen to me very carefully. God doesn't just love you. God likes you. He doesn't like everything you and I do, but God likes you. Now, some people are hard to love. Some people are even harder to like. I mean, we can show an act of love towards somebody and still not like them. But we need to understand, every single one of us, God loves you. He loves your neighbor. He loves that person sitting beside you, working beside you, living beside you, but He also likes you. Some of us, let's just stop for a minute. Some of us may be in this room, we're going through some stuff and have been through some stuff and are carrying some scars and some emotional baggage to the point that we don't even like ourselves anymore. It happens. You go through periods and some people stay in a period like that. You've struggled, you've failed, you've disappointed others, you've disappointed yourself to the point that you don't even like yourself and you don't even understand or feel that anybody else, much less a perfect and holy God, could ever like you. And it causes us to become bitter. And we show that bitterness toward other people, but really what we're bitter at is ourself because we don't like ourselves. I want you to know that you can like yourself. You should like yourself because God likes you. I know this for a fact because He's the one who made you. But the Bible says fearfully and wonderfully made. I fearfully and wonderfully made Joe, but I don't like it. No! That's ridiculous! No, He likes you. He likes the way you're made because that is His handiwork. He likes you because He has a plan for you. Every single one of us, He likes you because He has a plan for you. You are made in His image. Of course He likes you. Maybe most importantly, He sees, He knows, because He installed the potential in every single one of us to do great and wonderful and awesome and miraculous things. He sees the potential, even if it's not being realized yet, because He's the one who installed it. So you better believe He likes you. That's why, in verse 10, Jesus said, look, remain in My love. If you obey My commands, you will remain in My love. You have potential, but if you obey My commands, you will remain in My love, just as I have obey My Father's commands and remain in His love. Let me read that first part one more time. If you obey My commands, you will remain in My love. Here's what we better be careful we don't do. If we're very flippant about it and we just fly through that, we begin to interpret that statement. If you obey My commands, you remain in My love. Okay, if I'm good, then God will love me. If I do what I'm supposed to do, then God will love me for that. If I don't do the things that I'm not supposed to do, then God will love me. If I obey the commandments, God will love me. We got to know right here and now that that is not what Jesus is saying. We got to know, we already know, that God's love is not conditional. It's not if you do this on the condition of you obeying My commands, I'll love you. No, God's love is not conditional. Romans, whatever's next, it's 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that Christ, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, okay? We were not obeying the commands, but God demonstrated His love. So it does not mean, if you obey the commands, I will love you, all right? John does not record his Lord Jesus is saying, I love you if you do what is right. What he says is, if you obey My commands, you will remain in My love. What he records Jesus is saying is, if you remain in My commands, then you will remain in My love. Essentially, what he's saying is, My commands are My love to you. The command he's going to give them immediately is, you love other people the same way I've loved you. And that's what we'll spend the rest of this week and next week learning how to do. But let us understand that what he's saying is, My commands are love. The Ten Commandments. Good place to start. Their love. Don't have any other gods before Me. Don't make any idols. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't lie. Don't covet. Okay? Don't do these things. Make sure you do the other things. You see, what happens is if we have other gods before Him, it ain't good for us, is it? It ain't going to go well. If you go around coveting all the time, you're not going to be a very happy soul. Amen? If you tell a lot of lies, you're going to have problems in your life. It ain't going to be good for you. What Jesus is saying, what God has always said, is My commands I give to you as an act of love. You stay in them and you'll know My love. You stray away from them and you're straying away from My love. If you don't look at it the right way, it causes our life to to really take astray. The commandments are love. The commandments are something that God has given to us for us every single time. Here's what we have a tendency to fall into the pit of thinking and believing, because society around us gets even less and less biblical, even less and less godly all the time. We think, well, I'm going to have to obey the commands. I'm going to have to do what God said. I'm going to have to follow Jesus just right so that my witness will be proper, so that I will give Him a good name, and so that He will not suffer from my action. That's what we think. I better follow commandments so that my walk portrays what it means to be godly. I get all that, and I'm not saying that that's a crazy thought, but let me ask you something, just a serious question, rhetorical but serious. If you and I fail to follow all the commandments, does that diminish God? No, it diminishes you and me. It doesn't diminish Him. If we sin, God is still holy. God is still perfect. We're the maggots. See, the commandments aren't for God. They are for us. They're His love extended to us. Why should we be surprised that we live in a culture and a society that has no regard for the commandments or the commands? If we fall into the pit of thinking, well, they're for God, and we got to obey them so that God looks good or so that God is exalted, if the culture doesn't revere God, appreciate God, respect God, love God, or believe in God, what need do they have for commandments that are supposedly for God? None. How could they possibly respect them? But if we understand that the commandments are from God for us, then whether or not you appreciate God or not, the commandments are valuable. The commands are valuable. It's a matter of how you look at it. To prove it, Jesus told His guys one time, Mark 2:27, He said, hey, remember, man was not made for the Sabbath. I didn't create the Sabbath day and then create you to serve it. I created the Sabbath, that commandment, to benefit you. It was my act of love, because the boss man would have made you work if I hadn't said something. Commands are God's love from Him to us. If I tell my little girl, be careful, she's doing something, I say, be careful. Give her a command. Don't do that. Don't do that. No, you'll fall. No, that car will hit you. You understand? I'm giving her commands. It's because I love her and I want what's good for her. I talk to my wife on the phone. She's going to drive home from work in Greensboro. I say, be careful. That commandment is because I love her. The commands of Jesus, the commandments of God, are a huge, be careful, y'all. I love you. I want to see you benefit. Jesus said He'd remained in them. He'd never broken a single one. And He benefited greatly from that. He was untainted. He had the right perspective on life. Jerry Bridges said, or wrote, God's unfailing love for us is an objective fact affirmed over and over in Scriptures. It is true whether we believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love, nor does our faith create it. It originates in the very nature of God, who is love, and it flows to us through our union with His beloved Son. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, Paul wrote, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Keeping the commandments is staying in God's love. That's why He immediately says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Now that's where it really ratchets up and starts to get tough. I can understand that God loves me. I can understand that I'm a maggot and God loves me anyway, and I don't understand how, but I can accept that. But He's extending that kind of love to me. How in the world am I, in my imperfection maggotness, I'm going to stop using the word maggot now. I just heard it, all right? Supposed to be able to love like God does. How in the world can I possibly pull that off? We'll get a point or two this week and we'll pick it up there next week. How in the world do I do it? How do I show them the love that God shows me, regardless of who the them happens to be today? Whatever the situation. We've already said that some people are hard to love, even harder to like. It's hard to like a Trump supporter or a Democrat or a Duke fan or somebody with an alternative lifestyle. We got a lot of differences, don't we? Woke some of you up again. We've got a lot of differences. We have this many differences, just the light ones that I've mentioned. God still loves us, regardless of the differences. See, that's the key. Number one, love, all right, each other despite the differences among you. The differences do not impede, or they're not supposed to prohibit any kind of love. Listen, in this room, just right here, a few dozen of us, we have a lot in common. Some diversity might do us some good, but we have a lot in common. There's also a lot of differences. We have differences of opinion on any number of things. Some of us have differences of opinion on church polity. We have differences of opinion on the style of music. We have differences of opinion on the way VBS or a mission trip or whatever the case may be, an order of service ought to go. We have differences in many cases in this place and outside of it that separate us in ways that we believe are very pivotal. I mean, this is important business, and we don't share the same outlook on it. What I want you to see is even in all these differences, God still loves each and every one of us, despite the differences. Jesus knew these 12 guys, 11 of them probably by now, very intimately. He had selected them very specifically. We know that John and Peter and James were all fishermen. We know that Peter's brother Andrew was also a fisherman. They had that in common. Andrew used to be a disciple of John the Baptist. It begins to get a little different. We know that Bartholomew, because of the way his name was spelled out in the early Greek, was probably a descendant of royalty, several times removed. We know that Matthew was a tax collector and all that comes from that. I mean, he's an outcast on both sides. There's a lot of difference there. Simon the Zealot, you know, the best way for us to understand him in a 21st century vernacular is this. Simon the Zealot was a political extremist. And he loved them all, despite all these differences. He said, I love you, love others as I have loved you, all the same, all totally, without any kind of reservation and without any kind of condition. Some of you, when you get through eating supper, immediately wipe off the table and put all the dishes in the dishwasher or wash them in the sink and put them away. Some of you are like that. Others of you can just throw them in the sink and let them sit there all night long. Or for 2 or 3 days even. Some people can do that. Some of you can do that. It's no problem. You understand? It's a big difference. Some of you get a bill in the mail. And you open that envelope, and you immediately go to the checkbook, and you write the check, and you put it in the envelope that's inside the envelope, and you put a stamp on it, take it out to the mailbox, and you put the little red flag up right now, because I've got to pay that bill because I got it. The others of you can wait until that due date in that little box on the bottom right-hand corner, or even 2 weeks past it. You don't have any problem with that whatsoever. See, we're different. Very different. God loves you anyway. Something we need to understand. Guns, no guns. Cops, no cops. Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. All these things that's going on. Differences. God loves us all. The only way that we can possibly understand loving somebody with that big of a difference of opinion, whichever it may be, is knowing that God loves me even though I'm not lovable. By His standard, anyway. And I need to extend that. Last one. Love others, we know, by understanding, but despite the differences, because that's how Jesus loved. The other way Jesus loved that we'll take a look at today is love others by winning them over. Love other people by winning them over, okay? Jesus mentions the commands. He mentions the new command that He gives them, okay? He does it in a subjunctive mood. If you'll obey this command, then you'll remain in My love, okay? Jesus had, like every single one of us have every single day of our life, a couple different options in the way that He would approach the people around Him. Jesus could approach His followers, His disciples, those who called Him teacher, those who called Him master, those who called Him Lord, okay, those who called Him rabbi. He could approach them a couple of different ways, all right? He could either be very dictatorial. He could give out commands every single time. He could be an enforcer, okay? I've showed you how to love, now you better do it or else. He could enforce it. He'd say, all right, here's the way we're going to handle. I'm going to wash these feet and you're going to be still. And that's the way. All right, He could have been an enforcer like that. You will not fall prey to the Pharisees' way of thinking, because if you do, then I'll disown you. No, that's not how we see Jesus recorded in the Gospels as winning the guys over, is it? Or as loving them. No, what He did was He served them. He showed them a godly lifestyle. He washed their feet out of service. And even before He went to the cross, even before He died for their sins, He had won them over. to the point that they said, you know what? I'll do anything you say. I'll go anywhere you go. I'll give up my entire life for you. He had won them over. That's how we're supposed to love others. Let me give you personal testimony. God didn't force me to answer an altar call one night and become a Christian. God didn't force me to answer a call to ministry. God doesn't force me to endure all that comes with being a Southern Baptist pastor. He didn't force me to do any of it. But because of the love He's shown me in my life, because of the real Him that He has revealed to me, because He has won me over, I'm willing to do it. I want to do it. He won me over. He didn't force me to anything. That's how Jesus loves you. What He says is go love other people that way. Because everything you and I see going on in the world today, everything that's going on TV and the radio, everything in society is due to the simple fact that we have neglected to go through the steps to cover up, to clean up, to completely encompass the situation with love, like God loved us. And as a result, the maggots have come in. And that's what's deteriorating everything. Love cures all. Amen? Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, wow, thank You for being so much better than us, that You're capable of loving us, despite the fact that we fail You every single day. Thank You for loving us enough, not just to tell us the truth, but to live it out in Yourself, to give of Yourself, to give all of Yourself, so that we can be with You, so that we can reside in You, remain in You, and know You for an eternity. Thank You for loving us. Lord, may we, as Your children, may we, as followers of Your Son, Jesus Christ, be reminded of that fact every single day, because it matters. Help us, Lord. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that You'd help us to love those around us, the ones that are different, the ones that think differently, the ones of different opinion. They may be pivotal, but we're not like everybody else either, and You chose to love us. We're not Hebrew, we're not Greek, we're not even man or woman. We're just Yours. It's what Your Word promises, because that's who You are. We ask in Jesus' name that You'd unite this church in love, that You'd unite our families in love, that You'd unite this country in love, starting with the fact that each and every one of us just goes out without the pressure of having to do right, but only the pleasure of knowing You. If there's anyone here this morning, Lord, who doesn't know You, who is carrying around the guilt of the sin of their life, I pray in Jesus' name that You would speak to them even now, that You would bring them to the altar today, and extend to them the love that You have waiting for them, the forgiveness that they so desperately need, and the life that they so desperately want. We love You, Lord, and we commit it all. And we thank You in advance for what You are going to do. In Christ's name, amen. It's just a time of invitation. Whatever God's laying on your heart to do today, pray that You'll do that very thing as we stand and sing.